Welcome to Finding Proof, where we discuss all things early stage VC.
We're your hosts, Thanasis and Jenny of the Proof Fund, and our goal is to get to know the best seed and early stage VCs out there.
In this episode, we're speaking with Lior Groen, who is a principal with Blockchain Valley Ventures, the global early stage venture fund focused on blockchain technologies. In particular, we're interested in finding Lior's viewpoints on the promise of blockchain technologies in the financial market. Lior, thanks for joining us today. I'm really excited to speak to you because you're the first international fund that we're speaking to. And also, you happen to focus in a very interesting vertical, which is the things related to blockchain. So with that said, can you just tell us a little bit about your fund, the origin of it, and what the strategy is?
We set up the fund a bit over 2 years ago to deliver on the opportunity that we saw to be the institutional face and partner for the emerging blockchain ecosystem. Coming from the Swiss financial industry and what we call here the crypto valley, we really wanted to be the partner locking up and integrating these two ecosystems to capture a lot of the opportunities that we see emerging with the Ethereum Foundation being based here and many of the other projects and protocols setting up shop on our doorstep.
And in terms of the model of the fund, as I understand it, there's basically three different branches. It sounds like there's a VC component, advisory, and corporate finance. Can you speak on each of those and how those components work together?
Yeah, exactly. So we are fully focused on blockchain and the whole ecosystem around it. And the main reason we do this is we're so excited about what the opportunities this presents. And with that, of course, we are very passionate about the early stage investments that we're making in this space. And that's really what drives us as we're growing our business as well. In order to be a subject matter expert and fully dedicated to what we're doing here, we recognize that many of the opportunities that come with blockchain are not in the seed Series A space. So we play an active role as a deal maker throughout the industry, leading M&A transactions and working across different business lines in order to be fully integrated in this and fully dedicated to absolutely everything that comes into this space.
Yeah, that adds a ton of value. And so how many checks do you write a year and what's your average ticket size?
We write about 4 to 5 a year. So we've got now 10 companies in the portfolio with the average ticket size being between 250 to 500K.
Lior, tell us a little bit about this Crypto Valley thing, because I'm not sure everyone in the audience is aware of it.
It's something that I think we're very proud of here in Switzerland, really trying to emulate and copy some of the early success that came out of Silicon Valley with the internet boom. And really, that's the mindset that we approach this opportunity with. So blockchain is for us and how we define it, a real paradigm shift in the way things are done. And Crypto Valley is sort of the overarching body and association bringing together the ecosystem here on the ground. And beyond the marketing and the way that we position ourselves, I think is a community of people that have come here, set up shop in and around Zurich and the Switzerland region to be dedicated to what is obviously a decentralized global movement and opportunities that are being built on this. So we're very excited about what we've built, and I'm sure in due course, you'll be hearing more and more about it.
And is this something that the government created as an incentive? Why did everybody decide Switzerland is the place?
So it's definitely hugely pushed by the government and especially the local authorities in the canton of Zug, which is, let's say, the home of this. It's a combination, though. So you have many of the traditional financial industry, so the UBSs and Credit Suisses of the world, who've dedicated time and supporting the associations to build a kind of concentrated hub, which is focused on those horizons of opportunities in the financial system and beyond, obviously.
And Lior, for those that are novices in the blockchain space, can you tell us in a summarized way why blockchain and the potential of blockchain and why you can do things with blockchain that you can't do with traditional software?
Yeah, maybe taking that down even further, what is blockchain for people who don't know?
Yeah, so I think the example I like to give, and that I think really just lays out the playing field, is the evolution we're talking about here is like going from Microsoft Excel, right? So where everyone has their own sheet and is able to input information and data, and they have that saved on their desktop, and you now have cloud functionality for that. And really the next step of that is creating a Google Sheet, which is not only accessible by everyone and can be shared and seen, but everyone is able to then create the next tab and can then visually see what's in that tab and create and add content to that tab. And I think having this distributed database is very much in the same fashion of that, where instead of having siloed organizations or databases storing centralized information, we have an open ecosystem with multiple market or participants on that sheet able to actually be a part of this. And the validation process for that is what makes it interesting, because it's not only that we can all see it, but we can actually trust that what's on there is true and correct, the same way that you would trust the Google Sheet that you've created on your own desktop. How do large financial institutions and trade finance deals and transactions get settled with multiple counterparties, taking on multiple levels of counterparty risk and needing to do this in a mechanism which is not just T+2 settlements, so taking the time horizon for settlements to happen, but really incorporating that in real time and being able to see what is happening in the one place at any given time, which is valid and representative.
And just to be clear for our listeners here, there's Bitcoin, which is what brought this technology to the foreground. But there's also blockchain as technology. So the two are not necessarily related. So you could use the technology behind Bitcoin to apply it to other fields. Because a lot of people sometimes think, oh, crypto is just the use of Bitcoin.
Yeah, Bitcoin is a blockchain. And I think what's been unique about it is how incredibly resilient it's been. So over its 10+ years of active existence and awareness, no one's been able to do any meaningful attacks on that protocol layer itself. And I think that's where people get excited about it from the tech community and ecosystem. But as you said, this is just one of many blockchains, probably too many in existence. And we expect that this will be a consolidation, which ones are actively being used and gaining meaningful momentum. And that's where you see everything else evolving and the types of capabilities. So Bitcoin as a value exchange and a settlement mechanism, Ethereum, one of the other most famous blockchains, really as a smart contract. So creating meaningful exchanges through legally binding or eventually to be legally binding means. I think these are the opportunities that are out there and are very different, but ultimately come down to the same point, which is how do people exchange information, engage with each other, and especially when that information has value attached to it.
And what industries has blockchain changed or upended, or in your view, will in the future?
More than 50% of the companies that we track are in the financial industry. This is the natural use case and tracing back to Bitcoin and the opportunities that really presents for a peer-to-peer model of value exchange. I think that's really the core of it. But you know, we segment it into two areas. So one is, of course, financial industry, where you see the evolution of things like T0 settlement and liquidity. So alleviating counterparty risk has huge implications. And then what you can do beyond that, of course, is where we see the other focus is really around data management, privacy, and information security. And this is a topic which I think isn't always synonymous with blockchain. These are challenges that Microsoft, Google, Facebook, et cetera, are needing to address. And the regulations in Europe, especially with GDPR, so the Data Privacy Act, to really protect consumer information. I think these are really the catalysts for change that we see, allowing and opening up new business models and new innovations where there is no central party who's managing and controlling data. And we think that's a very prime opportunity to get involved with topics around supply chain and medical records and et cetera.
Definitely. And so what do you look for in a company? And maybe by illustration, can you tell us a little bit about one of your current portfolio companies? What made you really excited about them?
Yeah, sure. To date, we've been doing seed Series A deals, predominantly European-based, but by exception globally. And what's been our main focus is really the institutional applications of blockchain. So I think a lot of the things and segmentations within the ecosystem, people are focusing on many retail applications and wallet providers. And I think a lot of the momentum has certainly been around cryptocurrency exchanges and how they're bringing the masses into this industry. I think where we see it in our positioning in this space is very much focused on enterprise applications. We have, let's say, deep expertise in enterprise software before blockchain was even a topic that people were talking about. And this is really where we see ourselves as our sweet spot. And obviously being based between Switzerland and I should also say Singapore, these are very small retail domestic markets. So everything that gets developed for and designed in these countries certainly targets either enterprise applications or foreign markets. And I think this is really where we are focused on. So one specific portfolio company, which I think really summarizes who we are and what we're about, is an Australian-based fintech business who's actively digitizing the commodity space. And what they've done is really bring together some of the most conventional and traditional players in one of the most conventional and traditional industries to create not just digital certificates of products and underlyings in commodities trade, but really be able to represent this in a tokenized fashion so that basically what they're able to do is create a unique financial product, which is not competitive to anything else on the market because it just hasn't existed, which is freely transferable and tradable across geographies. And I think what that comes down to at the end of the day is this notion of borderless and frictionless transaction and settlements of assets, FX, currency. And the way in which that happens, of course, is many applications on the retail side, which is interesting. But where we see that value is in the huge amounts of international trade and finance that happens on a daily basis. And the way in which these are settled, especially when it comes to physical commodities, is just ripe for disruption. And Finigold is really for us the kind of frontier for that, which brought together quite a few people from the industry. So former APAC managing director from JP Morgan and who ran the commodities business there has come over as a CEO and one of the key cornerstone players in this business. And working together with the Perth Mint, they've created a very unique product, which is now rapidly growing and scaling. And we definitely saw a unique investment case in such a business.
Why did you feel that it was important to be global for an early stage fund? Usually you try to focus. Why global?
Yeah, so this idea of fishing in one's pond is certainly one that we try to say is not enough for what's happening in the blockchain space. And the idea here is that the rate and pace of the developments and innovation that's happening, being a thematic fund in a small country and region, Europe is technologically advanced, of course, but highly fragmented. And when it comes to picking winners in this space, we saw a lot of the opportunities, of course, being replicated and designed in their respective countries. And if you really want to have a meaningful impact and let's say back the winners, fishing in your own pond probably wouldn't yield the results that we're trying to achieve. So it's really recognition that this is a global movement and development, and blockchain by default is not something that happens in isolation. It is really bringing together multiple counterparts. And that's why this international strategy for us has been basically the driving force in our activities.
Right. And in your view, what does it take to make new blockchain-enabled business models succeed?
It's this idea that we're bringing together multiple market participants over a shared and common set of truth. So I think the idea that we can use blockchains to solve operational inefficiencies of a bank's day-to-day business, I think this is not necessarily the lowest hanging fruit. I think many of the things that really will come and are coming when we talk about central bank digital currencies, the Chinese RMB project, the digital one, for what they've done, the Facebook Libra initiative, many of these things really coming together around solving for interbank or let's say liquidity challenges that they're faced when engaging in intercompany and interbank transactions and managing that liquidity and balance sheet. Mm-hmm.
Is there an example of something that you can do with blockchain that you can't do with other technologies?
I think the easiest one that really comes in is this idea of instantaneous settlement. And this is why so much money has come into this space from the financial institutions themselves, being able to do this not only internally, you know, for example, JP Morgan, I think one of the leaders in this space from the traditional industry who's invested significant sums. The way in which they've created their JPM coin, so the JP Morgan coin, for lack of a better term, this shouldn't be perceived as a token that you and I are exchanging between us, but as a back-end settlement tool that they're able to do on their own balance sheet and manage their own complexities as a leading international financial institution operating across all financial hubs. And the way that they're able to use this to actually create value on their back-end system, this is immensely valuable managing instantaneous settlement. And this is only amplified further when we start talking about how can we integrate that across multiple counterparties. So not just their own balance sheet, but their of and beyond. And this idea that we can do things in real time and manage that risk, one is a regulator's dream, and liquidity providers who are managing balance sheets and observing how companies are managing their balance sheets. A lot of the regulations over the last 20 years have centered on this financial crisis and before. All of these evolutions have really supported what is now the development of a better way to actually understand what is on a financial institution's balance sheet and how these things are being settled and ultimately reducing counterparty risk in that process.
Looking at blockchain in general and its recent S1, Airbnb declared an interest in a number of emerging technologies, including tokenization, cryptocurrencies, and blockchain. So what other companies do you think will be next to follow suit? And what do you see as mass adoption of this technology?
I think there's two parts of the ecosystem, and we're equally excited about both of them. So I think the Horizon One opportunities are really around Bitcoin and people, no shortage of companies now announcing that they're storing treasury in Bitcoin. I think the US is in for a run with some of the larger companies in the US even looking at this. And this is equally exciting and presents a huge opportunity for custodians and institutional grade service providers to come in and actually manage private key storage and security of digital assets. The other side is really, what do we do after everyone can do this? And this is where we look at it from the data management. And that's really what blockchain is. It's a way of securing and managing information. And it's no surprise to us that all of the bigger players in one way or another, not only looking at, but making meaningful stakes and positions in this industry. So we're equally excited about that. And I think that's really the next horizon two of growth and momentum in this space.
And what are some mainstream businesses that have actively incorporated blockchain that people might not be aware of if they're not plugged into the space? Like Walmart, for instance, uses blockchain to increase supply chain transparency.
I think the easiest example now is PayPal, right? So big announcement from PayPal on how they're now starting to not only accept, but also leverage in their day-to-day what service that they provide, which is FX and settlements, basically, right, that they're actively doubling down on their crypto offering. And I think the fact that they are moving in this direction is something that we have seen behind the scenes for many years. And the fact that this is coming to the forefront now, it's being actively reported and people are no longer shying away. And it's no longer a kind of dirty secret that we're doing things. It's really being accepted. And the momentum is clearly there. Big players to start offering this in a meaningful way as an alternative way for settlements. And that's what it ultimately is. Right.
Where do you think the industry stands as a crypto industry? Do you think there will be a mass excitement like there wasn't during the dot-com era, and then everything came down again, and then it took a while for these technologies to build infrastructure and to become more widely adopted? Or you think there's going to be a more gradual trend? Because you saw a lot of excitement with the initial coin offerings, ICOs, and those kind of flamed out. And so is that going to happen in the crypto space?
Yeah, look, I think depending on the week, we discuss and debate this at length internally with our partners. Basically, it comes down to two points. So one is there's an overwhelming amount of support for Bitcoin. So whether or not we talk about the whole industry, crypto, and everything that's going on, there is, I think, today an understanding that Bitcoin is, in one way or another, here to stay. And I think where we are December 2020 with the latest bull run on the market, I think this is accepted that people are actively looking in this and will park money into this. The second side of it is, what is blockchain beyond Bitcoin in practice? And I think here is where we still have many different opportunities in the way in which this can go and evolve. And I think this is where there's no real meaningful or clear answer to what that is, because it is the earlier stage. And I think segmenting between this and the opportunities that presents, as I talk about again with the central bank digital currencies, the initiatives like the Facebook Libra, I think this is still so uncertain because of the regulatory complexity, because of the lack of understanding of what they are. This is something that will take 3 to 5 years, maybe 10 years, or maybe could happen in the next 12 months. And I think this is really where the goalposts keep changing depending on the momentum.
And as an investor, what drew you to blockchain personally in terms of a focus area?
Look, I have to say, originally from Australia, and I came over to Europe initially in London working in the financial industry. And many of the things that we were talking about were, imagine if this and what that could be, and going through the financial system like that, I think finally came to a point when there was something and a momentum brewing around this technology that was like, actually, it's here, right? This is able to do all of these things that we're excited about and said, it's so inefficient that this happens, mm-hmm. that settlements take 2 days, and that the Swift banking infrastructure and network functions in the way that it does. And that was really the kind of rude awakening. And you know, one of our initial partners in the business right from the beginning, and former board member that we've worked closely with, is the former CIO of UBS Bank globally. So I think coming together from the industry, the Swiss financial industry, to be a part of transitioning and bringing together the opportunities of this industry to see that it actually gets implemented the way it could be is really the main pull. And that's what excites me.
And so tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get into venture, and where did you grow up, and all those good things?
The really boring things are. I'm originally from Australia, as I mentioned, and I started my career at KPMG, actually, in the private enterprise group. And I think this is when I really had my first touch points with the day-to-day operations of family business and private companies. And let's say the opportunities that come with this when you have small management teams responsible for potentially large businesses and have evolved in that way. And I think that was really my main motivation to pursue a career in the private equity industry. And as a good Australian, I moved over to the UK to work in London, as most of us do, in the financial industry. And that's really where I got caught up in, I think, the bigger picture of what the financial industry really has to offer and what this is all about. And on one hand, bringing that together with what excites me most, which is how technology can shape the future and be involved in making things better, was bringing together that element of entrepreneurialism, the technology available, and matching that with capital allocation was really the main motivator for me to continue and work within the private banking industry and then actually go more into the venture industry, which is where I've spent the last 3 years now fully dedicated to and even more excited about every year that goes by, to be honest.
Have we figured out who Satoshi Nakamoto is? And for those who don't know, he was the founder of Bitcoin, but my understanding is nobody has figured out who this person was.
Exactly. The enigma that lives on. And I think it will probably remain that way. And he will be, or it will be, or they will be sort of immortalized in this community and ecosystem.
If they don't use their coins, because they have, it must be billions now, because early on, whoever this person was that started the network, they started accumulating coins. Am I wrong in that?
There is certainly an aggregation of coins in place, or yeah, let's say on wallet addresses. And if we get into the technical details here, we probably lose a lot of people, but there is a kind of unaccounted for treasury, so to speak, that sits there with unsolicited parties claiming to have access to. It's one of the mysteries that I think even, and that goes to show some of the limitations of technology, right? The whole idea of this was to be an open peer-to-peer network where everyone can see what's happening. And the fact that we still have so many mysteries around that is equally an observation that's worth considering on what this technology really is at its core and where it makes sense and where it doesn't.
And if there was a young entrepreneur who heard this whole thing and said, hey, I need to get into this right away, what's your best advice about where to start? Is it to go join one of these companies, or is it to try to learn more about it and try to start something?
Honestly, the first thing to do is try to buy a Bitcoin and see how hard that is. The hurdles you have to go through to actually get onboarded, go through KYC requirements to buy and then transact using a Bitcoin. I think this would be the first thing to say, okay, we understand why the industry is still at such an early stage and why we're so far away from maybe a critical adoption of many aspects of the technology. And then once you have that understanding, I think the opportunities worth solving and how you can play in the game, so to speak, become much clearer, because this is still such early days. And we talk about 10 years of Bitcoin. I think this is insignificant in the scheme of how long, for example, cloud computing has taken to really meet and reach a critical mass and just be as adopted as it is today with Google Drive and all of the Amazon suite around the products and services that are built on this. There's many opportunities out there, and understanding the pain points today is really step one.
And as an early stage investor, when you're evaluating a business, what sort of criteria do you utilize and what's most important to you personally?
The first threshold is always the credibility of the people, backgrounds that they bring. Just in the same way that I encourage young entrepreneurs to figure out what this technology is, I think if you haven't understood the pain points within the financial industry, what instantaneous settlement means in practice and the challenges of liquidity, I think it's basically impossible to come up with a meaningful solution that will redefine capital markets and financial flows. And this is where step one is their credibility and experience and a network, because gone are the days where you can just raise an ICO and people throw money at you. Today, if you're pitching a blockchain company, you're probably disadvantaged because people don't want to hear what you're offering.
You're obviously investing in this space because you believe that it has huge potential. How do you see this playing out? Do you have a vision for how this becomes a part of the global venture ecosystem?
For us, that's been the most tested thing during this COVID period, is how this evolves. We see more and more institutional players coming into the game. Here in Switzerland, the Swiss Stock Exchange has been very aggressive on creating a digital ledger technology, blockchain-enabled capital market. More and more players like the JP Morgans of the world also even rolling out and carving out their own technology stacks for this. I think where we are today is basically a piece of the puzzle from the fintech industry, maybe a few years behind where they are in terms of having meaningful players in the market. But even today in the blockchain and crypto community, there are some 15 plus unicorns in the industry. And we expect in the next 3 years that will at least 3-4x. So we're seeing many more coming through the ranks. These are the players who will not only be the pioneers of the industry, but will be the ones that have the most to gain when bringing this back to the traditional financial industry.
Moving into our four standard questions segment, these are questions that we ask in an attempt to get to know you better on a more personal level. So the first question is, if you could have a magic wand and change or improve something about the VC industry, what would it be and why?
Yeah, so this is a really good one, actually, because I think I love many aspects of what we do. And I think one of the challenges, though, is understanding the positioning of VCs. And I think we always have to explain this to people as well, is that ultimately, as a GP, we are sitting between, you know, larger capital aggregators and our LPs and the entrepreneurs. Right. And I think the dynamics that really creates when you bring the fixed requirements of capital allocation, set fund lives, holding periods, returns, and everything that entails, and bring that to something as fluid as an entrepreneurial journey and endeavor, I think you inevitably have these conflicts of interest. This is particularly relevant at the early stage of investing. And I think this would be one thing where, in an ideal world, if we could change the way that this works, having a more balanced playing field where you don't have that conflict of interest and there's that imbalance isn't there, would make a lot of differences. And I think one of the most critical things I have on the industry is when you start looking at some of the ways in which capital structures can actually really damage businesses, so liquidation preferences and many of the requirements that are imposed, this ultimately has, I think, a negative impact on the overall entrepreneurial ecosystem and promise that we hope that brings. Right.
Number two, if you were not a VC and money wasn't a concern, what career would you have?
I'm all in on technology. I think that for me is the core focus of what excites me. That being said, I did study a master's in energy and environment, economics, and background and passion for sustainability. And this is really where I think if we are going to have technology solve many of the problems, I'd like to be contributing to that. So unlike the Kodaks of the world who sat around watching digital cameras come and take them out, I think I want to make sure and would like to get into making sure that energy solutions and alternatives are really being integrated in society at the pace that I think, you know, the technology really allows it to
be. I think a lot of people would join you in that too. And number three, who is someone you look up to and why?
It's a good one as well. I think, not sure he's so big on the international stage, but it's someone I've been consistently following since I was a very young person, and I've really respected most of my career. So it's a fellow called Malcolm Turnbull, and Australians would know him as former prime minister of the country, but actually that affinity and respect for him comes from what he was doing before that. And basically using, you know, his expertise and professional track record as a platform. What really stands out for me about him was he was an early pioneer in the internet and telecommunications industry in Australia. And as a partner at Goldman, was one of the first private equity professionals in Australia before that even became an industry as big as it is today. Or using that expertise and the way in which decisions are made in the private sector as a basis to contribute also to the public sector is certainly something that I take after and would look to do in my career as well.
And the fourth and final question is, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Yeah, this is the last thing that was given to me by my mentor before I moved over to London from Australia. It was the one that stuck with me the most, right? So it's winners forget they're in a race. They just love to run. And I think it really took me about 5 years to understand what the hell he meant when he said that to me. Because I think on the surface, yeah, do what you love. I think that makes sense. But I think in practice, it's deeper than that. So it's like whether or not we like it, the world is just so incredibly competitive. And especially when we look in the financial industry, these are global markets, global industries. And the fundamental underlying differentiator from everything I've seen now has always been the drive and what motivates people when they embark on an all-encompassing journey. So entrepreneurship is not part-time, and the things you're passionate about is not part-time. That's what you do full-time. Everything else is plugging the holes. So I think ultimately passion is contagious, and it's not something that you can ever substitute with just opportunistic instincts. And this is why a very clear perspective on doing what people not only paid to do and compensated to do, but doing what they're really incentivized to do, because people who do that will always outperform no matter what.
Great. Lior, thank you very much for joining us today. We really appreciated your insights, and we feel like we learned a lot today about crypto and Bitcoin and blockchain. Thanks again.
Thanks for the opportunity, guys.
And follow us on Twitter at ProofVC or on our website at proof.vc.